Welcome to the Brooks Rehabilitation Podcast. This is episode number one with Jody Morgan. My name is Tracy Davis.
My name is Michelle Arallo.
We're really excited to have Jody on today.
Jody is the manager of the Brooks Rehabilitation Aphasia Center. She is also a clinical assistant professor in communication sciences and disorders and a speech language pathologist at Jacksonville University. She received a bachelor's degree in speech pathology and audiology from Michigan State University, a bachelor's in education from Michigan State University, and a master's degree in speech pathology from Michigan State University. Her specialization includes treating adults with neurogenic disorders, including aphasia, dysphagia, cognitive communication disorders, and voice disorders. Her research interests include aphasia, aphasia rehabilitation, and swallowing disorders.
Yeah, and we're really excited to have her on as our first guest. I apologize ahead of time because within the podcast, I actually said University of Michigan, but it's actually Michigan State. So my apologies to all the Michigan State fans out there and to Jody for saying the wrong place. So thanks for doing this. You know, we really appreciate it. And especially being our first guest on the official Brooks Rehabilitation Podcast. And I think everyone is going to be really interested to hear this topic because a lot of people don't know your story. They don't know what aphasia is. I love telling people more about what speech therapy is in general. We did another video about that last month for Better Hearing and Speech Month. But if you could just kind of introduce yourself a little bit, from, you know, how you got into speech therapy, what got you that interest, and then at the beginning of the show, we'll read what your kind of your background.
Sure.
We got it off of JU's website, so we'll read your bio your numerous degrees. Yeah. But yeah, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, well, I'm Jody Morgan, and I'm honored. I didn't know I was actually the first one, so I feel so special. So if I mess up, this is going to be, it's over, right?
That's right. Yeah. We're going to cancel it.
Yeah. So I'm just honored to talk about speech pathology and aphasia and what I do just because I'm so passionate about it. I got interested in speech pathology probably back, honestly, in eighth grade. I knew I wanted to do something to help other people. I've kind of been a helper, so to speak, mm-hmm. my whole life, and that's just what makes me happy. So my father has a severe hearing loss bilaterally, and he had some problems with communication when his hearing aids weren't working properly. And I just saw how communication can adversely affect someone's life. So I think from that age on, I wanted to do something either in the medical field or in speech pathology, and hence that's why I went on to become a speech pathologist.
Wow. Okay. And you went into college immediately knowing that that's what you wanted to do.
It's in my eighth grade scrapbook that I wanted to be a speech pathologist. Yeah.
Wow. And so you went to University of Michigan. Are you from up there?
So I'm going to correct that because there's a big difference. So I actually graduated from Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Michigan
okay.
State. I actually
I'm bad with colleges.
There's
state of this, university of that. I'm bad with it.
It's kind of like saying someone from Florida went to Florida State or vice versa.
Yeah,
there's
okay.
You know, there's that little bit that goes on. I did go to U of M for some classes, but I'm a Michigan State fan all the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to Michigan State, and then I got a couple of degrees there, and then I went on to grad school at Western Michigan University.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. How long have you been doing speech therapy now?
A long time. That will reveal my age, but it's been, let's just say it's been a long time. No, actually over 25 years.
Mm-hmm. It just shows how, you know, that's why you're such an expert in the field, because mm-hmm. nowadays you're traveling all over the place, right? And speaking at different conferences about speech therapy and aphasia.
Yeah, I've been really, really blessed. Yeah, it's been really exciting because, you know, what we're doing at Brooks is very unique. So that has really promoted a lot of interest in the nation about what we're doing. And so it's been exciting for me. I just got back from a clinical aphasiology conference that was in Montana. I just spoke in New Mexico. I'm speaking hopefully at ASHA in Orlando this year. We've been doing lots of presentations. We went to Dallas for the ACRM conference last year. Mm-hmm. We did some speech therapy and music therapy with Danielle Porter here. We presented. So we've been really kind of spreading the word.
Wow. What brought you to Brooks in the first place?
So I was at University of Iowa. I was a professor at University of Iowa. And I have, my sister lives here in Jacksonville. And we came to Jacksonville. I actually was looking to go to University of Florida, believe it or not, to be a professor there. But then I found Brooks and I loved their patient center focused. I loved that they were, you know, had some research initiatives and just decided they were just really had the right motive for their patients and they really wanted to help. And so I took my first job with Brooks and I haven't looked back.
How long have you been with Brooks now?
I knew you were going to ask that. I was thinking about that on the way over here.
Because it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So it's been 16 years.
Okay. Wow. And then you started directly in outpatient?
So I did. I was actually in outpatient in Orange Park. So I started over in Orange Park. And then pretty quickly after that, they offered me the management position. So I was the manager in Orange Park for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we moved all the way over to Ponte Vedra, and the drive was really rough. Yeah. And so it opened up a position for a research speech pathologist. You know, again, wonderful thing about Brooks, there's a lot of opportunities. And then I started doing halftime between research and then working in San Pablo Clinic.
Okay. Yeah. And that's where I knew you from is for San Pablo. Because that clinic has a lot of speech therapy.
They do. They do. It's a wonderful clinic, and it's my favorite group. They're a great group over there. So shout out to San Pablo.
Yeah. And I haven't made it over there in a while, but that's a great location where they're at too. You also teach at JU. How did you get involved with teaching again? Did you always want to go back to teaching again?
I love teaching. I absolutely love speech pathology. So for me, my favorite things are being with the patients and then also teaching students and kind of planting the seed of passion mm-hmm. within them, because I so strongly believe in speech pathology and what we do. So that's quite a few years ago where I knew the area did not have a speech pathology school, and we had a nice presence for physical therapy, and then occupational therapy at the time was in St. Augustine. And we were having, as a manager, I was seeing a lot of difficulties hiring good, solid speech pathologists at Brooks.
Okay.
So I talked to Michael Spiegel, Doug Bayer, and a lot of other people about a speech pathology school, and I was friends with now Provost Chris Sapienza, who's at Jacksonville University, and we were friends, and we started talking about developing a program at Jacksonville University. We worked together with Brooks, and many meetings and many collaborations later, they developed the Brooks Rehabilitation College of Health Science and mm-hmm. the speech pathology program, and now there's wonderful programs underneath that, including a mental health program, kinesiology, they have an occupational therapy program. So I think it's done a lot of wonderful things, and I still do teach.
You do, yeah. Yeah, we're really lucky here in Jacksonville. We have quite a few colleges with really good healthcare programs, especially JU being, you know, at the one of the top levels of that. I mean, they're fantastic. All the nursing programs, every kind of healthcare program they have is top notch. So how long have you been teaching there? How does it split your week up? Like you treat for X number of time, then you still teach?
They're great because they really support me. So I usually teach one class per semester. Today, in fact, as soon as I'm done with this, I'm headed over mm-hmm. to teach. So I usually teach one, 3 or 4 credit class a semester. And a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put my classes at night. So, you know, I can be at the aphasia center pretty heavily during the day, and then I'll teach like a 4 to 7 class.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And what are you teaching? Is it the same class you teach each time, or what's the topics?
No. So I teach adult language disorder. Of course, I teach the aphasia course, mm-hmm. which is wonderful. And I always teach like a cognitive course. So then I teach courses on cognition, traumatic brain injury, dementia, primary progressive aphasia. So how to treat the cognitive communication disorders assimilated with those disorders as well.
Okay. Wow. That's amazing. We need so much more of that. You know, as people continue to need more care, we need more educated people that know what they're doing to help them.
And JU's really great about, they really care about the clinician. So for example, Danielle Erdman, who's a Brooks speech pathologist, she comes in and teaches the acute care portion of it in my class. She guest speaks and things like that. So it's really cool because a lot of the professors are still hands-on with the patient. I think JU is research-driven, but they also have really good professors that know how to treat clinically. So I think it's a great combination at JU.
Sure.
So how did the Brooks Aphasia Center come about?
So this has kind of been a dream of mine for a long time, and it was just interesting because it was not, of course, my vision only. We started talking about it. I actually walked into the office of Flo Singletary, who was the research manager at the time, and I was telling her a story about how I was working in outpatient, and there was a young man who was about 42 years old, super, super smart. He was musically talented, and he had severe aphasia. And aphasia, again, is a language disorder that affects your language, but not your intellect. And he was sitting across from me, and his 20 outpatient therapy sessions were over and done. And I'm like, well, that's it, you know. And he kind of looks at me and he got these huge tears in his eyes. And he said, Jody, now what? And I knew at that moment that Brooks had a lot of wonderful things, but I knew wholeheartedly that we had a missing piece because I had nothing else for him. And there were no research protocols for someone with aphasia at the time. There was nothing else for him. And literally all I could do is just send him home with a homework packet. So I was speaking about this with Flo Singletary, and I said, you know, I really want to develop a center for people with aphasia. And she looked at me, she's like, I've been saying that for years. And so we started talking about it more. And then we started talking to Dr. Russ Addio, a neuropsychologist at Brooke, and he noted that a lot of his patients that had aphasia had nowhere to go after this. And then we knew that Kathy Martin, who is the head of the clubhouse, had developed this wonderful clubhouse for people with brain injuries. So the four of us kind of got together after hours and just started talking about how Brooks really needs this. They had a crowdsourcing idea and we said, let's do this. So we're all very passionate about what we do. And so we kind of wrote up the proforma and then presented at management retreat back in, 2014 mm-hmm. it was.
I think it was the first crowdsourcing.
Yeah, it was the first crowdsourcing. We kind of didn't know what we were doing, honestly. We just knew that we were very passionate and Brooks really needed something like this for our patients. And we were just ecstatic because we made it to the top 10. There was phenomenal ideas. Our colleagues had some fantastic ideas, but we were very, very fortunate and we won the crowdsourcing idea.
Right. And if anyone doesn't know what the crowdsourcing is, it's typically it's always been every 2 years since we've been mm-hmm. doing it. Any employee, even we even say that any patients or family members can come right. up with ideas too, but they can come up with any idea. You submit it and you get selected. We get tons of applications. I'm not a part of who picks them, but I think our executive team does. And then if you get selected, it's usually around 10 people. You come to our leadership conference and it gets voted on by all of Brooks leadership mm-hmm. as to who wins. And then you get funded to seek the idea out right. further. And I remember your presentation from your whole group with Russ and Kathy and Flo, because you guys were the first ones that kind of set the template for how to win crowdsourcing is you get emotion in there.
Yeah.
Because you guys I think you guys used, it's like a PowerPoint. What's it called? The other
Prezi.
Yeah. There you go. And then, cause I was in the back running all the equipment, but, you guys had not just the text and all the information and the valid points about why we need it, but you actually filmed people with aphasia saying they would love to have an aphasia center.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty powerful. And like I said, the gentleman that I talked to, I asked him, hey, can I just ask you what you would do, you know, if there was an aphasia center? And he was, you know, it literally was like with my little camera filming him, it was just totally spontaneous. And that's what we ended up putting in the presentation.
Sure.
So I always tell him I'm going to put a bronze statue of him in front of the aphasia center.
Yeah. And then now you guys moved, whenever the Brain Injury Clubhouse moved down University, and you guys, how many years has that been? So you guys are together in one building.
Yeah. So we actually opened the doors in March of 2016.
Oh, wow.
So it has been open for 3 years now. I can't believe it.
It's been that long.
No. Yeah. It's flown by. And we opened the doors with 24 people with aphasia that came in. Mm. And we have served hundreds and hundreds of people so far. We have about 67 active people in the aphasia wow. center right now. And then we have also the intensive. So we have the group, the community-based program where people can come from 9 to 2 all day long. They get groups like advocacy, how to, you know, use technology, politics, which is very interesting sometimes. Mm-hmm. We have groups like cooking groups, knitting groups, all aphasia friendly so that people can learn in a safe and supported environment. Mm-hmm. And they have lunch together, we talk together, it's like a second family. We have that, and then we also have our ICAP, our intensive comprehensive aphasia program, which is a 6-week program. Mm-hmm. And that's been amazing because we've had people fly in from Canada, from Abu Dhabi, from all different United Kingdom. We've had people from all, you know, different countries flying in to get this 6-week intensive program. So it's been pretty phenomenal in the progress, and some of the data that we're presenting, like at CAC and other programs, are showing that how amazing both programs are doing.
What's the biggest difference when in the intent? Obviously, intensive is kind of explaining it, but what is the biggest difference between that and then just the other members?
I think the biggest difference is the ICAT program does a lot of individual. So it does some individual intensive-based things, but also integrated into groups. So everything we do at the Aphasia Center is what's called life participation approach to aphasia, which is basically how to get these people with aphasia to live successfully with it. So, you know, we'll teach them if they want to go back to church or if they want to go to Starbucks and order, we'll teach them how to do that. They might not have the ability to speak in sentences, but we'll teach them how to use icons or drawing or how to facilitate it, get them re-engaged in life. We really also depend upon our friends at the clubhouse and adaptive sports to help us because a lot of these folks, we are in all programs. So I think the community programs are super strong in doing that. So it's more of a, the ICAP is more of an intensive 6-week program where it's some individual that is very specific to them, and the community is more of a group. The ICAP lasts 6 weeks, where the community program, they can go forever.
Mm-hmm. So they can just keep coming.
They can keep coming as long as they can put up with us.
And just to stop down and just reset a little bit, you said that aphasia is a loss of words, not intellect, which I love. I love short taglines that explain exactly what something is. But I mean, can you give like a better picture to people of maybe what these individuals are dealing with on a daily basis?
I think the thing that hits home with people a lot is it's these folks are super, super smart. Aphasia usually hits the left brain, which is not all language, but it's heavy language based.
Okay.
So I tell people it's like if you didn't know Japanese and you were dropped in rural Japan. Okay, you're still the same person. You still have the same likes, you still have the same interests, you still have the same feelings, but your language has changed. So you go to find the bathroom and you can't read Japanese, so you don't know what bathroom to go in.
So it's reading as well.
It's reading. It's writing.
I didn't think about that part because it's always been
language.
The talking for me.
Yeah,
you're right.
And so it's messages coming in from people talking. It's messages going out, their own words, and it's reading and writing. Now, some people only have one modality affected, but some people have all four. So the Japan example for me is the best because, you know, you try to read a menu, you have no idea what it says. So you have to gesture, you know, is this a fish? And you can do fish with your hand to try and simulate that.
That's a good analogy.
People need a lot of supports to understand the language, and it can improve, and it does improve, but it can be devastating and isolating.
And the injury typically comes from stroke or brain injury.
Yeah.
It only comes from stroke or brain injury.
Yeah, brain tumor, brain aneurysm, some you know, progressive disorders like a primary progressive aphasia. So there are other ways, you know, gunshot wounds, you know, different things like that, but primarily it's left brain.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how are families involved?
We really, with life participation approach, families are always involved. They can come. We have coffee chat first thing in the morning from 9 to 9:30. And families come to that a lot of times so they can meet other people with aphasia and other family members. We also have a monthly support group for just the family members. So we do advocacy and support groups constantly at the Aphasia Center for our friends with aphasia, our members with aphasia. But we also have support groups just for the family members. So we'll have guest speakers, and sometimes it's just a topic they pick, you know, how to handle stress, who's the best doctor for such and such, you know, how do you handle holidays? We're having a guest speaker come from Florida State University that talks about friendships, because a lot of times when people lose their communication systems, the person that supports them, we call them communication partners or, you know, caregivers, they lose their friend system too, because all of a sudden no one can communicate with their loved one. So they become isolated as well. So we do a lot with that. And then we do a lot of family training. So again, we talked about the example with Japan. A lot of times it's just teaching the family members and other people how to support this person with aphasia to make them live successfully with life. So we'll teach them how to show that person how to draw a picture or give the first letter of the word, and then all of a sudden they can say a whole sentence. So we train the family members. We do videotaping with them. We play it back. We train them. We give them techniques. We show them how to make aphasia-friendly material. So there's certain fonts that you can use with people with brain injury that help them read the material better, certain types of pictures and icons and spacing, you know, 1.5 inch line spacing in certain fonts can increase their reading ability by 35%, a lot of the research shows. So we'll train family members how to do this, how to interact, how to communicate better with their loved ones. And then by them seeing other individuals with aphasia and their friendships, a lot of times all of a sudden they become their own community and they build friendships. We've had a lot of people with aphasia become friends and they've been traveling together, going on trips together, because it's really very, very supportive and it's very enriching and empowering. So I think one of the gifts the Aphasia Center gives to people is that new friendships and support. And it's not necessarily with us, the speech pathologists, but they learn from each other and they encourage each other. And I think that's one of the most beautiful things ever.
Yeah, it's amazing how many, you know, pretty much everything that we deal with at Brooks, it's not just the person, it's also their family as
Absolutely.
Well. That has, you know, it's a big impact, the things that we deal with.
Absolutely.
Since you guys have been open with the BRAC, how have things grown? How has the word gotten out around the country? And also, what makes, you said that the way that Brooks does the BRAC is very different. So what makes us different?
So one of the things that makes us different, first of all, is we're currently only there for a long time was only one, us, but the only nonprofit hospital system that has an aphasia center that supports it. Most of the aphasia centers in the country are funded by grants and by different things that. So again, I am so proud to work for an organization that supports something like this. So we're different because we're supported by Brooks. So we get a lot of our folks that are wonderful speech pathologists that are inpatient or outpatient or home health, refer them to us. When their therapy is done, they know that they have a place to go. So it's been wonderful, a good continuum of care. We keep getting constant referrals and things like that. The other way we're different is a lot of programs just have either just a community center or just an intensive. And a lot of the community programs are shorter. So they're maybe, you know, 9 to 12, 2 days a week or something like that. But we, you know, own the building, we're in the center, and we have both an intensive and a community and our training programs all under one roof. So we kind of do everything where a lot of people are, you know, due to multiple reasons, aren't. And so it's kind of a great environment. The other thing that makes us unique is the Jacksonville University speech pathology students. We couldn't run our center without their help. We have grad students, undergrad students, a lot of volunteers that help us. They run computer labs for us. They help us clean up. They help us do everything because we have sometimes, you know, 40 people there at the same time and, you know, just a few staff members. So we really heavily thank our JU graduate students and volunteers because they help us. So they're learning and a lot of our folks get extra and individualized attention because we have so many volunteers and help. So that's a wonderful thing. So we're unique for a lot of different reasons.
That's great. And you guys have been growing continually. And we were talking before we started recording about the video that we just released and how it's doing very well on social media, in large part to, I think, a lot of the shares that you've sent out. But I think, you know, people seeing the effects of what this is, and I think so many people just had no idea what it was.
Right.
And actually being able to visually see and hear what it is kind of really impactful.
Right. And I want to thank Tracy Davis for helping me with this video since
like
I have a little
times
air time. But, you know, I really think it's powerful. And our members really told Tracy and Jill Matejczyk and I what they wanted. They wanted people to understand what aphasia is. And if me, Jody Morgan, stands up there and says, this is aphasia,
right,
it's not as powerful as if they can say it's trouble with words, it's trouble speaking, you know, how it's affected their life. Because I don't know, I don't have aphasia. So I have not walked in their shoes.
Right.
And so I think it's just an amazing thing. You know, I love to talk so much. I love to communicate. And I know how important it is to think of that was suddenly taken away. And to watch that video, like I get tears in my eyes just thinking about it because it's so powerful and beautiful. And it really hits a point that aphasia is a struggle, but you can re-engage in life. You can get better. You can make new friends, right. But your life is not the same.
And to those who haven't seen it, that's what we do in the video is we show what it is, but then we show that they are still who they are.
Right.
There's again, words, not intellect. So they are still who they are. Just their communication is different.
Yep. Absolutely.
I was struggling a little bit while I was editing it, just because I know that you wanted to show what it was, but it was hard for me to show the whole point of it was to show this, but to put that on the screen of showing them struggle, you know. But I knew, you know, like you said, we can't show people what aphasia is if we don't show what aphasia is.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, and it's hard because sometimes, you know, I think with aphasia, it's people will look at them, and a lot of folks will look quote unquote physically look fine, and then they have so much trouble with words. It's hard for people to understand that they can see a broken arm or they can see hemiplegia, but it's hard for them to see aphasia until people speak. And you know, I think the thing that my friends with aphasia want to point out is that it is tough, but there is a lot of hope for it.
It's fantastic.
So if someone's listening that has aphasia or knows someone that has aphasia, how would they reach out to you?
Sure. There's several different ways. I love to go to the website, so our brooksrehab.org, and then there's actually a whole page on Aphasia Center with our wonderful video on there. So there's contacts on there, so you can just email. Also, our phone number is 904-345-6780, or you can contact me directly at jody.morgan@brooksrehab.org. And we would love, even if it's just to help, if somebody's even out of state and they just want information about aphasia, we're in contact with different centers across the nation, so we could refer you out. We can educate family. We have support groups. We want to be there to help anyone with aphasia or family members with aphasia.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. We know you're a busy lady and you're about to go teach.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited that I was the first one, and I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Our thanks to Jody Morgan for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And I hope that helps people get a much better understanding of not just speech therapy and speech language pathologists, but also aphasia. And the amazing work that they're doing at the Brooks Rehabilitation Aphasia Center. Again, the website for the Aphasia Center is brooksrehab.org/aphasia. That's A-P-H-A-S-I-A. Also, if you'd like to follow us on social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Brooks Rehab. That'll work on all of those. And then we also have a YouTube channel with our videos, but we also, every video that we do is also on our Facebook.
If you'd like to send us an email, our email is podcast@brooksrehab.org.